I'm not faking it now. This is not a show. This is my life.
Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Do you believe in life after addiction? You better believe it. Now, the host of Life After Addiction.
Welcome back. Yes, sir. Welcome back. Welcome back.
We are here.
Episode 31, baby, Life After Addiction. And man, I'm excited for today. We have a special guest. So if you haven't checked out episode 29, Adam and I discussed the resurrection power of Jesus and it not being celebrated only on Easter, but that we can walk in that newness of life, in that resurrection power each and every single day. And then last week we had our brother Ryan Rhodes on. Y'all guys got to know him. He shared a little bit of his testimony and just what it looks like for him to walk in that resurrecting power of Christ. And so today I bring to you a fellow Houston native, the greatest city in the greatest country. That's right.
Did you know he was going to do this?
The greatest country in the world, Texas. Come on.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, man, introduce yourself and then maybe just give a little 10,000 foot view of your story and kind of how we connected and how we know one another.
Yeah, my name is Caleb Heumann from Houston, Texas.
Come on, baby.
Hey, we'll cut that part out. We'll timestamp that. We'll cut
Let's
that out.
And so my whole life I struggled with anxiety, depression, trying to come up with ways to numb that pain and not deal with it. You know, had some childhood trauma that I hadn't been able to work through, and you know, I just used it as a crutch, you know. And a phrase that really struck home to me was, the chains of habit are too light to be felt until they're too heavy to be broken. So as we go down these road, it just becomes more and more and more until you don't know how to get out, and you can't see clearly. And you know, I got to a point with my wife and she just said, you know, enough's enough. I can't handle this anymore. And it's totally a God ordained moment of my sister scrolling through her Facebook feed and finding Chitty and this place out in Tennessee, and she randomly sent it to me, and I thought, I don't know anything about Tennessee. I don't need to go there. I don't have a problem, right? And you know, it got to a point where I just had to go. I needed to change, and I didn't know anything else of how to do it. And I showed up at S2L, and it was an adjustment period, you know, and it took some time for God to work on me. But once he broke me, there was nothing holding me back from his love, when I knew that I didn't have to feel the shame, the guilt, any of the things that had held me down and binded me before, that it was just absolutely freeing to just know that I'm loved by God.
Golly, man, that's amazing. I love hearing from guys that I haven't heard from in a while, and they're just doing amazing. One of the things that we talked about off air, and I want you to elaborate on before Chitty has some really cool questions. And again, we are going to timestamp out and cut out all the Houston and Texas talk. And you mentioned Tennessee and that you didn't need to be there, but you later found it was God's country.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But hey, man, touch on the kind of the ministry part that you're doing. And you're going into you have mentorships and things that you're doing. And just touch on that. Why are you doing that? Is it something that you just feel like you have to? Which is obviously not the answer. But I mean, I guess where I'm getting at is, God saved you, redeemed you, changed your life, really restored things in your life. And now it's almost like, what? Why are you doing these things?
It almost feels like to reciprocate God's love that he has shown to me, to show other men that how God has loved me, and use that love to shine through me into them. And I want them to see and feel the difference of somebody who has been in their shoes, to where I'm not faking it now. This is not a show. This is my life. This is, this is my true story of what God has done for me. And, you know, I want to bless them with that. And oftentimes what happens is I get blessed even more. You know, I learn more about myself than and through God of what he's done in my life than actually what I can give these young men.
Yeah. Gosh, man, that's so true.
Man, I'm taken back right now just hearing you talk, man. I'll never forget the first time we spoke or the first time I spoke with your wife and her wanting to get you into the program. I was at this gas station in Murfreesboro, and I just remember pacing back and forth and her telling me y'all's situation and how you were going to be unwilling to come and, you know, were in the mindset that you didn't need help and yada, yada, yada. But I remember praying with her, man, and like, I don't know. It was just one of those moments where I just felt like this guy is going to come. Like I just had this, I can't describe it, but I just had this feeling like this guy is going to come. And then me and you talked for, I don't know what, a week or so before you actually ended up coming. And to hear the confidence you're speaking with right now and the boldness, and you just said how you're not ashamed of your testimony and the life that you once lived, that's astronomically different than the man that I met. Yeah. Because that man was ashamed of his past. He was ashamed to tell other people of his struggles. He was ashamed to, you know, admit that, man, I had fallen short and I had lived this life of addiction and I tried to keep it in private. And now for you to just be so forefront about it and sharing it from a place of such humility, man, and just grace, and you wanting to reciprocate that same love that was shown to you by God. Man, that stuff fires me up, Caleb. Yeah. Like, it is miraculous what has happened in your life. Like, it is miraculous, man. And I'm blessed to even hear you speak right now.
Yeah.
One of the questions that I have for you though, man, a valuable lesson, man. What do you think about for someone watching this, right, who may be struggling with addiction, who's fresh out of it? What's a valuable lesson, man, that God taught you through your addiction, right? When you look back and it's like, man, all these horrible things stemmed from my addiction, but also something so valuable, so something so tangible happened from that I can now look back and be like, man, I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
To me, it was almost like I'm looking down this road, but it's not a road. It's a path through the trees, but not really a path. And I can either choose to do the things that I know aren't good for me, that I know aren't working, but I don't know of another path to go down. And I have God over here saying, hey, I want you. You are my long lost son. I love you. I need you. And I made you specifically for me. Whether you have, you know, family issues, whether you have mother, father issues, that he is the ultimate father that we were designed to be with. And for me, I kept making the same choices again and again and again. And when I saw that I could choose God over all these earthly things that will fade away, that have no meaning in the terms of eternity, it was a light bulb for me.
Yeah. That's similar to your story, man. Hey, one of the things that I always like to talk to alumni about, especially they've gone through the program and the four pillars. And I asked Ryan Rhodes this too. What book are you in right now? What book of the Bible, where does God have you studying? What are you drawn to right now? Or maybe a small group study, devotion, something like that. What are you in right now?
Right now I'm in, Psalms. And I,
wow, that was Ryan too.
Was it really? I hadn't caught his last week. You know, specifically Psalms 40, and you know, any time that I get down on myself, or I think that, you know, well, it's just a situation. This is what's happening, and you know, I can't control it. And I see the fervor that David craves God's, you know, his Holy Spirit to be with him, to, I need you, Father. And just to see his humble submission and needing him, it just crushes me of thinking that I can do this. I got it. You know, I'm bringing it up to speed. I can handle this. And, you know, every time I do, I end up going back to the Father because I should have been there to begin with.
That's so good. And that's exactly what we talked about in the resurrection episode, where it's like, guys, one of the examples that Ryan and I talked about, Caleb, and is Ryan really said, it clicked for me when I realized that his promises were for me too. Like, I didn't, it's easy to see that, oh, it's for that guy. That, okay. But when God, when I see that it's for me too, and it, he wrecks me and he shows me that this is, I can have, like David, longing for and the fervor for, I can have that too. When that clicks, everything changes. Everything changes.
Man, I just remembered this. And if you don't mind, I'm going to have Carl pop up a video here. But it's a video your wife sent me a couple weeks out of the program, man. And you didn't even know she had walked in the house. But it's around a corner, man. And she's recording you just worshiping in the room with your arms held high. And man, did I cry when I saw that. It was so beautiful. But something else we talked about last week with Ryan is how God blessed him with a God-fearing woman. And I've only known your wife as long as I've known you and had a few conversations with her. Well, I'd say several, but haven't spoken to her in a while. But man, I could just tell that the Lord had got a hold of your wife's heart, and she is close to the Lord. Tell me about what your marriage looks like present day as opposed to what it looked like prior to you coming to S2L.
Well, as, before S2L, it was an extremely dark place, and it's almost like I got infatuated with that pain of that struggle in between of the cycle of doing life. And it just, I almost fed off the pain, in a really, you know, misguided attempt to, dig my way out of this impossible hole that I was digging myself. But as I, and I remember sitting on a, in the bed in the downstairs basement, and a guy named Larry was there, and we just got mail, and I got mail from my wife, and you know, oh, you know, let's look it up, let's open it up, you know, and so we open it up, and one of the, she wrote down some Bible verses for me to read, and one, the first one was from Ezekiel, and Larry goes, dude, Ezekiel is a hardcore book. That's not good. I mean, there is a lot of death and destruction, and there is messed up stuff in there. Dude, I don't think you should read it. I said, no.
I think you should read it.
and so when I went to read, you know, the verse from the book, you know, it's, you know, therefore I've made you new that I will turn your heart of stone, you know, into, you know, the love of Christ. And it was like, you know, I was proud of that stone of a heart, you know, nothing can hurt me. I got it. And you build this huge wall up and you don't let anybody into your emotions and you don't let your emotions pour out to anybody. And there was a moment when I was in counseling with Brianna that, you know, both her and I just felt the presence of God, and it felt like nothing mattered, you know, like
she told me that story. She told me that story.
Oh, come
wild.
On.
Wasn't it with you, Brianna, and your wife, or was it just you and her?
Yes.
It was like a couple's counseling session. And Brianna told me that she was wrecked too, man. Let me ask you this, cause I want to honor, I know that you're jumping in here on a work day and you got to be in a meeting, but two things. One, shout out to Jillian. It's Jillian, right?
Yeah.
And just, man, lovely, godly wife. And if you guys follow our socials, if you go back a few months, and shouldn't take long to scroll through, there's a beautiful blog or story that they wrote together about their story and about just what God's done in their life and their marriage. And I mean, I asked permission, hey, can I share that? I mean, it was amazing, man. And that just what God's doing in your life, and you could see it in your eyes and your face. What is, and this was one of his questions, but I just want to hit it with you real quick. If there was, as we're kind of winding down, if there was one thing that you would want to encourage people with. So here's the range. There's about 70 million people that listen to our podcast. We did
at
the
least.
Math, right? We did. That was the metrics that we got, right? And so the range of people or anyone who's still in active addiction, just months, weeks, you know, out of a program or trying not to use, families of loved ones, and, you know, people who have been set free for years that really believe in Christ-centered addiction recovery. What's something you would leave someone with on that upper end? Someone who's maybe, you know, how the mind's still racing and they just got out and all of the pressures of home life are coming and people maybe still not trusting them and looking at them different or hiding their pocketbook. What's a message that you would say? What kind of encouragement would you ask and give those people in that realm of listener?
You know, we just passed through Easter, you know, and as each, you know, a lot of churches go through the Christmas story, and we learn of how Christ went through all the suffering and what those guards did to him, what those people made him drag that cross up to the cross. And the journey was painful. The journey was not something that he wanted to do, but there was a journey that he was going through. And, you know, when he rises up from the grave 3 days later, it's glorious, right? And a lot of times that we aren't able to see our way through the woods, but it's like, you can take one step, right? Mm. You can take one step. And to me, I like to picture just running full-fledged into God's arms and is him hugging me like I'm a small child. Yeah. That it just makes me know how small I am, how much I need him, and there's no other feeling that you'll ever get from any other substance. And as you try to entrap yourself in this world of situational this and this and that, just take one step.
Yeah. Yeah. I think of Paul's passage where it's, I don't look at the thing. I don't look behind. I don't look at the past. I press on towards the goal to which Christ Jesus called me. And I love that, man. Good word.
Whoo, man, this is filling me up so much hearing you talk. I'm so serious, man. Like it's doing something for me, man. Last question I got for you, man, and you may have already talked about it. But what would like a marker moment for you be when you think back to your walk with the Lord? And maybe it was in the program, maybe it was shortly after, but a marker moment for you that you knew undeniably, like, man, freedom from addiction is absolutely possible. Like you just knew in that moment. Did you have a specific moment like that, or was it just kind of over the course of some time you came to that knowledge?
No, there was two moments. We were in the van going to, I forget which church we were going to, but the song Scars came on the radio. Mm. And I used to be ashamed of those scars, and I used to try to cover up, you know, look how dirty I am. Look at the things that I've done. Nobody's going to love me. Nobody's going to like me. But we all have our specific journey that we're going on, and those scars make you. And when I embraced those scars, I could turn away from that person who I was, knowing that God has washed it all clean. And, you know, even on the cross, going back to Easter, he still has scars on his hands, right? He left the reminder to show us that, hey, these are part of the journey. This is real. And I just broke down crying for about 30 minutes. I just cried all the way to church. And I'm thinking, you know, with a guy, you know, van full of 9 dudes and it stinks. And, you know, like I'm crying. I'm in the middle of the woods in Tennessee. Like, what is going God's on country. In my life? I'm here. And, you know, one Jitty told me is that, you know what, Caleb, you're going to look back on this time in your life, the 6 weeks in this God-ordained piece of land in the middle of nowhere, Tennessee, and you are going to cherish those moments. And I don't know what kind of look I gave him in the moment, but it probably wasn't Christ-like. But now that I you know, I reminisce on that, it was a very, very special time for me to unplug, to get one-on-one with, you know, our Father. And from there, it just changed. And I didn't want to be that person. I didn't want to continue scarring myself. I wanted, it's important to, you know, there's a reason why your rear view mirror is smaller than your windshield, right? It's, you can see, you, it's important to know where you came from, but it's more important to see where you're going. That's and right. I could envision myself on a incredible journey that I couldn't even imagine that I would be here 2 years ago, 3 years ago. There's, God is just beyond your wildest dreams. He is here for me every single day.
It's that resurrecting power, baby. Man, I'm getting filled. Carl's over here. You can't see him, but he's just like basking in the presence of the Lord right now.
Yeah, man. And so from the, we have the saying, and maybe you've heard it, maybe you've not, but from the rooms of recovery, the revival of a nation. And so because of that resurrection power, Caleb's marriage restored. He's the father that God's called him to be. He's very productive member of society, has a great career, entrepreneur. Man, he's plugged in and serving at his church, Antioch Christian Church in
Pearland, Texas.
Pearland,
go check it out. If you are in the area, check his church out.
Yeah, and look for Caleb, man. He'd love to introduce you. Plug in there. Guys, what about, and he's doing mentorship there. He talked a little bit about going into the jail and the prison and doing even, like, one thing unique that he didn't talk about on air, but I believe he talked to us off air. Man, he's going into the prison, bringing marriage counseling, marriage seminars into the prison. The wives get to come in. I mean, that is so unique, but it's very thoughtful because when they get out, just, I mean, amazing work, man. I'm so thankful for what God's doing in your life, man, and what I've gotten to see, the blogs. I mean, I just always just, and I don't know, because y'all like share or shared faith, so I don't, I'm assuming it's your wife, but sometimes it could be you writing. And it just always blessed me whenever I see and read the things that you guys are doing. We're dropping this right now. I'm not going to give a hard date, but hopefully by the end of this summer, when it starts to cool down some and it's not as so hot, I believe we're going to try to have an alumni weekend. Maybe have a golf. There's some people that would potentially set us up on a golf course and just have some, all, you know, guys come back. Love to see you there. If you're an alumni listening to this, you know, kind of, I didn't give you a date, but kind of know that towards the end of summer, as it starts cooling down, we might try to do a little shindig and bring that back. We haven't done it in a couple of years since COVID.
Yeah.
We used to do it every summer. Not the golf thing, but have people come in, like come to a Catapult Thursday night, have a golf or something. So it might need to take a few days. But Caleb, man, thank you so much for being a part of this and just letting your light shine in the darkness, right? Being a beacon of hope, a city on a hill, that at one point in your life, you would have thought the opposite of that. Mm. And then God wrecked you, restored you, redeemed you, rose you up. And now you, like he said on this, like he said earlier, man, I can't help but to show the love of God that I received. Mm. And that fired me up too, man. So thank you, Caleb. Any last thoughts?
Thanks for letting me share my story and hang out with you guys.
Amen. And that's Life After Addiction.
You better believe it.
Life After Addiction is a production of S2L Recovery. If you have any questions you'd like answered on the podcast, email them to info@springtolife.net. That's info@spring2life.net. And for more information on addiction recovery, visit s2lrecovery.org.
Feeling stressed? Let's take better care of you. I'm Bonnie Gray, the host of Breathe, the Stress Less podcast. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.